Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. Remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
It was a Trump week on the PGA Tour. While the grill room didn't go to Puerto Rico, we were here at Doral, at Trump National Doral, for the World Golf Championships Cadillac Championship. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but first, we'd like to welcome you to the Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and powered by Golf Week. Alongside of me, the one, the only, Mr. Alex Maselli. You know, Alex, really not far from Cuba here. I never asked you, have you been to Cuba?
No, I want to. I'd like to. You know, I think since the government has kind of changed the policies a little, it'll be happening relatively quickly within the next year or so, but I haven't been yet.
What about Cuban food? You like Cuban food?
Bob, I went out to dinner last night to a restaurant called Versailles, you may know it, with Gil Hands and his wife and my colleague Jim McCabe. So it was good food last night at Cuban restaurant.
Yeah, you know, driving here, there's a restaurant I'd love to go. It says Las Vegas Cuban Cuisine.
Yes, I'm sure you think that they probably are doing gambling in there, but they're not.
I don't know if you get to play blackjack during dinner.
I know exactly what you're talking about, right off the turnpike.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It just seems like a funny name to me. Certainly nothing funny about the weather we've had. A couple of weeks now in a row, stormy, rainy weekend weather. Not cold, obviously, up at Honda. I think it was far worse, obviously, than it was down here in Miami. But, you know, not Chamber of Commerce type weather.
Well, the first 2 days were good, but I think they needed that weather on Saturday and Sunday. There was a little more wind, I think, maybe more on Sunday. But the dampness probably made it easier for the guys to play because this place was getting burnt out pretty fast. And as we know, Donald Trump doesn't mind replacing all 18 greens if they all died just to make this golf course hard.
Let me ask you, you said you went out to dinner with Gil Hance and Jim McCabe from Golf Week. I know Donald's helicopter was always on property. Did you drive to the restaurant or did you go by helicopter?
No, I drove to the restaurant. It's only 20 minutes away.
And well, it would have been 1 minute away in the helicopter.
Well, I will tell you that I was offered a ride back to New York tonight on Mr. Trump's jet, but I refused or declined. I have to do this show with you instead.
Wow. Boy, I'm really excited not only about that, but kind of interesting where he parks the helicopter. It serves as an aiming point for the eighth hole.
Possibly, but I don't think anybody can get to it.
You know, when I think of aiming points, I always go back to being in Spain, right down the road from Valderrama. And you had to walk, I forget the name of the golf course, but we walk up this hill.
Soto Grande?
No,
not
it's down past that. Yeah, it's okay. Down past that, but anyway,
we're going to be in Portugal if you keep going.
And well, it's not far. And the caddy, we get up to the tee, and he says to me, "Just aim for the Rock of Gibraltar."
Ah.
I said, "Wow, could you say that again, just a little louder? Can you imagine hitting a golf shot aiming at the Rock of Gibraltar?"
The sad part was that you missed it.
Well, I needed a bigger target.
That's exactly right.
I'll tell you what we didn't miss, and I'm going to let you do this, Alex, because time now to welcome in our newest partner, and boy, I am excited about it.
That's right, Bobby. The Armed Forces Radio Network is going to be in our future shows. We'll endeavor to have a military component to tell military golf stories. Everybody knows Tiger's dad was a Green Beret. I'm sure Tiger has played on his share of military courses, and we appreciate everything the military does for us, and it's an honor for the Grill Room to provide a little entertainment to the men and women of the Armed Forces.
And I got my start in radio at Armed Forces Radio. And you played a military golf course over in Hawaii, the one that President Obama visits when he's on vacation.
I absolutely did. I played with our executive producer, Janice Self, and I beat her into submission.
And next we're going to go around the world of golf.
You're listening to the Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf Week.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call.
Time now, Alex, as we go around the world of golf. And why don't we begin with the European Tour, the Africa Open in East London, South Africa. And hometown boy, South African Trevor Fisher Jr. records easily the greatest win of his career by winning the Africa Open on his home soil.
Well, clearly that is. I mean, I think what was interesting, I looked at the leaderboard, there were only two South Africans on the board. So, obviously, that's great for Trevor Fisher Jr., and it is actually a place I know if you talk to Lou Oosthuizen or Brendan Grace, they love playing in the event, but unfortunately, the way the event is set up, it is so hard to get to. East London is like the smallest little town in South Africa, practically, that if you wanted to leave East London after Sunday, you probably wouldn't even get to the United States until Friday. You'd miss the next week's event. So, they have a hard time playing in the event, even though they'd like to support it.
Well, you said it may be a small town. In East London, well, where they played the women's HSBC Women's Champions, was played at the Sentosa Golf Course in Singapore. And our executive producer, Janice Self, has been there. And the only thing she keeps telling me about is that it's hot, hot, hot.
Two golf courses. My caddy was a guy that was like 75 years old. And he'd been caddying forever. He actually remembered World War II when he was a kid in the Japanese occupied Singapore. That's how long ago that was. It's an interesting place because I always find it interesting. If you look at Doral, which we're at this week, in places outside the fairway, way off the fairway, you have these weird grasses with very big leaves. And that's exactly the same kind of grasses you have at Singapore and Sentosa. But it didn't seem to bother NB Park. Wins by two, wire to wire, no bogeys.
I mean, 72 holes without a bogey is just unbelievable golf, Alex.
Well, I think even in your wildest dreams, it never happens, does it, Bobby?
Well, you know, look at the top of that leaderboard. Lydia Ko, number one player in the world, finishes second. Stacey Lewis comes in third. Of course, Lydia Ko still leads the CME Race to the Globe. Lydia Ko, MB Park, that could shape up as quite a rivalry. Don't forget, it was MB Park 2 years ago, won three majors in a row, so she has a wealth of talent.
Should I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
So she didn't win the fourth one. Which one was it, and who won instead?
She didn't win the British Open.
Women's British Open.
Women's British Open, right.
Right.
And it was a female player that won it. And now let's move on.
Stacey Lewis.
That's right. Stacey, I remember that. I was just testing you.
At the old course at St. Andrews.
Okay.
Is that it?
A great place. All right. What happened on the web.com tour, Alex?
The Cartagena de Indias Caravana Championships, presented by Pre-Build, played at TPC Cartagena in Colombia. Boy, I'll tell you, that's unfair. Just because I asked you a simple question, you give me that. Texas Andrew Landry. one at Cartagena. Previously, Landry had only played twice in 2015, made one cut, and made $3,266, but now adds another $126,000 to his bank account. Not a bad week down there in Colombia.
Congratulations, Andrew Landry. Nice victory. The event actually was plagued by high winds, play being stopped a couple of times because of that weather. All right, it's time for the PGA Tour. We had a great week here at Donald Trump's place. There's no other way to describe it. Donald has his imprint all over the resort and really has done an outstanding job in getting it in fine condition. It's really a very demanding golf course right now. Actually, double week for the Trumps. They had the golf course in Puerto Rico and had the Cadillac Championship here at Doral.
Right, the Puerto Rico Open presented by SeePuertoRico.com. It was played on the Trump International Course down there, which is the opposite field event from here. Five-man playoff, Tim Petrovic, Sam Saunders, which is the grandson of Arnold Palmer, Alex Chayka, John Curran, and Emilio Grillo, all tied at 7-under. And in the first playoff hole, Alex Chayka drained about a 15-footer for birdie. Sam Saunders had a chance to match it with an 8-footer, missed it on the right-hand side, giving Alex Chayka his first victory on the PGA Tour, a two-year exemption. Alex Chayka's had a lot of different issues go on, health issues, trying to find a place to play, plays on the European Tour, played on the PGA Tour. Now he's got a card for a little over 2 years now, and it's a great win for him because it's kind of like we're namesakes in some ways coming out here, but here's a guy that lived in the Czech Republic, escaped in his younger years over the Berlin Wall into Germany where he lives now. And it's a great story, and really almost anybody on that board would have been a great story. I think Sam Saunders would have been a great story as well.
I agree with that, but you really got to hand it to Alex Chayka. I mean, came on tour in 1995, and to be out here that long, I mean, we're talking about 20 years, and this is only his first victory, although he has earned over $8 million, so he's made some good bucks, $540,000 for this win, and he gets 300 FedEx Cup points. But I think the point you made, Alex, the next couple of years, he's a full-fledged member of the PGA Tour and exempt into all of the events, and that's going to be an extreme luxury for Alex.
Well, you can set your schedule. He lives in Las Vegas. He'll be able to decide when he wants to go, where he wants to go, timing and everything else. It's a huge, huge win for him. He'll get preferential treatment and tee times in regards to where he's slotted during events. There's nothing better than winning on the PGA Tour.
All right, we move to the Cadillac Championship right here at Trump National Doral, first WGC event of the year. Dustin Johnson comes out on top, despite the fact that he started the day five shots back. J.B. Holmes, after an unbelievable round on Thursday, shooting a 62, which is the course competitive course record here. J.B. Holmes did not have a good day on Sunday. Of course, the Donald was in attendance all week. I know. I saw him every time the camera flashed anywhere. I saw the Sir Donald.
Well, I mean, it's his event. He spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, and certainly a lot of money in trying to bring Trump Doral back to its roots, making it one of the premier resorts in Florida, and he's done a really good job of that. But at the same time, he's created a bigger-than-blue monster. I think it's like more like Blue Monster Squared, and it has been a very, very difficult test. That 62 sat in Donald Trump's craw for a couple days, but in the end, he saw his course hold up. And even though J.B. Holmes started at 10 under, the winner was less than that. And all of it comes down to how difficult the Blue Monster played. No matter what wind, no matter what temperature, no matter what weather, it is just a very, very difficult golf course with a lot of water.
Well, in case some of our listeners been away from a TV set or their radio, one of the unusual things to happen, we had a hole-in-one on the par 3 fourth hole, I believe. 7-iron hit by Dustin Johnson, went in the hole, About 24 minutes later, J.B. Holmes hits the same club. That goes in the hole. Two hole-in-ones in less than 30 minutes. Very unusual on the PGA Tour.
Well, not only unusual on the PGA Tour, but unusual because of the hole itself. The fourth hole is always a very difficult golf hole. And the fact that it's placed a little over 200 yards that day with water in front of it all. So if you miss it short at all, either you're in the water or it lands on the slope that runs it back into the water. So you can't miss the hole short. 200-yard shot. I understand that both Dustin Johnson and J.B. Holmes hit 7-iron, but they had to hit pretty good 7-irons to get it there. So that's part of the reason why it was such a big deal.
All right, let's give a listen to J.B. Holmes. As he tells us, quite honestly, he played great all week.
You know, I played great all week. You know, I just didn't make any putts today. I didn't hit it as well as I had been, but I hit a lot of great putts in the back nine, and just, man, I just burnt the edges all day. Just wasn't my day, and Dustin played great. So, you know, it was going to take one of those type of deals to there was a couple guys that were going to have to play great, and I was going to have an off day. And unfortunately for me, and that's what happened.
And that leaves only the winner, Dustin Johnson. We'll hear right now what he had to say.
You know, it means a lot. Obviously, it's one of my biggest wins, and you know, especially after a long layoff, you know, to come back out and, you know, win in my fifth start, you know, means a lot. And you know, I've been working hard on my game and been working hard on me, and so it means a great deal to have some success right out of the gate. It gives me a lot of confidence too. Didn't putt quite as well as I would have liked to all week, but I made them when I needed to. You know, I didn't make them early in the round when I hit it close on one and two, but you know, I really felt like my speed was very good with the putter all week, but you know, I don't think I three putted all week.
You know, Bobby, Dustin Johnson now goes to 7 in the world after his win, and you know, you wonder where he's going to go from here. He didn't play horrible in the first two starts of the 2015 season. Now he wins here at Doral. You got to look at him. I think he's 12-1 going into Augusta. At least that's what Las Vegas had him on Sunday night. 12-1 puts him in pretty good stead. You just have to wonder, though, do you think that his game per se, but his short game, his putting and his chipping, is it going to be good enough for Augusta National?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, it's a very difficult place to, you know, if your putter's not on fire and you're not chipping it stony, you have problems there. He certainly has the length off the tee to bring Augusta National to its knees, but we'll have to wait and see. President's Cup update is next on the menu.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf Week.
The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
The official hotel partner of the Grill Room for the WGC Cadillac Championship is the Grand Palms Hotel, Spa, and Golf Resort, with 137 comfortable rooms and suites located on a 27-hole golf course with all the amenities that you would expect of a first-class golf facility, including a pro shop, excellent food and beverage services, and a friendly staff that is ready to cater to your every whim. Minutes from South Florida's famed beaches and some of the best shopping in the country, the Grand Palms Resort invites you to relax at the resort while having access to all that South Florida has to offer. The Grand Palms Resort, truly a golfer's paradise. Call 954-431-8800 or visit grandpalmsresort.com.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to The Grill Room, now heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network. Of course, we're powered by Golf Week. President's Cup Report, had an opportunity to speak to Nick Price a little bit. Jay Haas was here trying to pump up what's going to happen in the fall. Jay Haas named Davis Love, one of his captains. Fred Couples has already been named. Davis Love seems like he's going to be an awfully busy guy.
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to understand why, if it's President's Cup, it's an assistant captain, but if it's Ryder Cup, it's a vice captain. Can you explain that?
Well, that's, you know, just one of the differences between the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. Just, they're different, Alex.
Just one of very many differences. But, you know, Davis Love had agreed to be an assistant captain for Jay Haas way before he was known that he was going to be named Ryder Cup captain for 16. But I think it's a great move because Davis is going to have the opportunity to spend time with the team during 2015 at the President's Cup. In talking to Paul McGinley in the past, he said, you know, it's a huge positive. It was a huge positive for him to spend time with the team when he was doing the Seve Trophy as the captain. So I think these are just things that are going to really help these guys out in the long run when we get to the Ryder Cup in 16. At the same time, you know, I think Jay Haas is looking for some guys that he feels very comfortable with in the assistant captain's role. So I think this is great. He did say, however, that he probably thought there'd be only one more assistant captain. But if you take a look at Nick Price and his team, he's got KJ Choi, so he's got the advantage of having a Korean player on as an assistant captain. Mark McNulty and Tony Johnson, the same guys that he had at Memorial, who I thought did a tremendous job, at Mirfield Village, did a tremendous job for Nick Price. So I think that right now Nick Price has got the kind of the upper hand, but we'll see what Jay Haas does down the stretch.
And those matches are going to be played where?
Well, we play at the Jack Nicklaus Golf Club in Incheon City, South Korea, starting October 8th of this year. I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to it or not, but I am going.
Well, that's good. I think, actually, you should go to North Korea for a little visit before you go down to South Korea for the matches.
Well, let me just say right now, if I did go to North Korea, that would make news and notes, and that's going to be next.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
As Alex promised, time for news and notes. Dell becomes the title sponsor of the World Golf Championships match play for 2016 through 2019. Dell's involvement with the World Golf Championships begins this year as an official sponsor. Next year, we take the match play to the Austin Country Club, and they're going to reverse the nines. You'll be the first to know that. The members play it, you know, different than we're going to be watching the matches unfold in the match play championship.
You realize that we're still waiting to see if the membership of Austin Country Club signs off on this. They have not voted on it yet.
They're voting on it this week, and it's a mere formality because at the Austin Country Club, whatever the board decides, that's what happens.
U.S. Open and U.S. Women's Open qualifying sites have been named. Hard to believe that we'll be starting that very soon. I don't think it's hard to believe. We're over a third of the way through the PGA Tour schedule. If you take a look, it started in October. Of course, the Grill Room will keep you up to date on all the key results, and we're looking forward to that. But first, you know, Janice, our executive producer who put our rundown together, we have to get to the Masters before we start thinking about U.S. Open and U.S. Women's Open.
Well, we got qualifying sites. I'll go to the defense of our executive producer. And somebody that needs no defense, he's pretty nifty in that hot seat. That's PGA Tour Commissioner Tim Fincham. He held a press conference on Sunday at Doral, and many items were discussed. And one of them was the players. You know, there's been a movement by the Ryder Cup people not to count the early fall events for Ryder Cup points, and a lot of those tournaments are not happy about that.
Well, they shouldn't be because they worked really hard to get full status in regards to if you win one of those events, you get an invitation to the Masters, full FedEx Cup points. They had in the past been full Ryder Cup points as well. Now all of a sudden they're not, and the question is why. Phil Mickelson had mentioned when Davis Love was announced that it was basically because of the strength of the fields. It turns out that some of those fields are stronger than fields like Sony or Zurich and other fields in the PGA Tour. So that, or John Deere, so that doesn't make a lot of sense. In talking to Jim Furyk, he said the reason was is we wanted the hottest players, so we wanted to start as late as possible, thinking the January beginning of the season there made more sense. Talking to Phil Mickelson again today about it, basically he still believes that those fields are not very strong, and he doesn't believe we should be making Ryder Cup decisions off of those fields. Tim Fincham, however, seemed to maybe disagree.
He did, and he actually admitted to everybody that he whiffed it. And let's give a listen to the commissioner right now.
When we had a communication by way of a conference call on the proposed changes, you know, I thought they were all good. And I think most of them were. I kind of whiffed it on that one, to be honest with you. I didn't really I didn't really think through that particular change as it relates to the point change as it relates to those events. And it's particularly annoying to me that I missed it because we'd just been wrestling with this on FedEx Cup points for the last number of years. We would like to see them included, and actually, because I think it's good for those tournaments. I honestly don't think it makes any significant difference in the final compilation of the team either. But I think when you, in the early season events, have players winning, and now we know that they're positioning themselves to last year, I think three of the four winners early on made it all the way to the top 30 in Atlanta. So that's exactly what we wanted to see happen with the FedEx Cup, is that you start the season and every event is significant. So moving away from that in any particular degree, even though it may not be all that important, it is important. So we're gonna have more conversations about that, but we will be speaking out to the PGA on that question.
Well, that was Commissioner Tim Fincham. Not often, Bobby, does he admit to whiffing anything. So obviously it's something that he's going to take a serious look at. But my belief is that the Ryder Cup people, the task force, the people at the PGA of America are going to be steadfast in not including those points for those fall events this year. I'm sure they'll take a much more serious look at it for 2018. But I think 2016 is a done deal.
I have to agree with you there, and like you said before, we heard the commissioner, not often that he whiffs on anything. Somehow that one slipped by him.
All right, next up are our feature interviews, and we're going to start off with Dan Jenkins.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
One of the special things that sometimes happen when you're conducting the Grill Room as we do is you get a guest that, you know, is a thrill to be able to talk to, and that's the case here in the form of Dan Jenkins. You won the Old Tom Morris Award from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. First off, congratulations. I know you're honored to receive that award.
I'm honored to be almost as old as Old Tom Morris and still here, but it's a terrific award, and I'm very pleased and flattered that they decided to give it to a writer for the first time.
Well, you're not just a writer. You're a writer that spans, I think over 200 majors. Am I correct?
It's about 220 now, and this will be my 65th Masters coming up, and my 58th U.S. Open, and I could go on and on. But, you know, somebody always kept paying me to go and write about it, so I did.
Well, you're going to shut me up because I'm at 121 majors, but I got a long way to go to catch Dan Jenkins.
Well, keep counting and stay erect, and you got a chance.
That's right. All you got to do is get old. Dan, you've watched all the greats, mainly Ben Hogan, and I've heard so many magical things about Ben Hogan, but never really talked to anybody like yourself that knew him so well. What were a couple of things that made him special?
Well, of course, I can't say anything bad about him because I'm a golf writer from his hometown in Fort Worth, and I was covering him from after the accident on. I covered all of his big stuff. I used to go out to Colonial, his home course then, and play golf with him. I played golf with him maybe 40 times. And he was the nicest guy in the world to me. He didn't suffer fools. There's no question about that. But if you ask him an intelligent question, he'd give you an intelligent answer. He was cordial. He was a great, gracious loser, as all great winners are. And he was terrific. I can't say anything bad about him. I hear people say bad things about him, and I've seen him treat strangers with a kind of a coldness. I think he was kind of shy more than anything else. But he had a closet sense of humor, and he gave me a great golf tip one time. We were playing golf. He asked me to join him and two other guys in an exhibition for the U.S. Olympic Fund at Colonial. So I'm playing. I top a shot. I top another shot on the first hole. I got off the tee okay. Then I started topping three woods. It was a par five. And I'm walking to my ball, and he said, "You can probably swing faster if you try hard enough." It's the best golf tip I ever had.
Well, boy, that could apply to so many of our listeners. Very rarely do I ever see anybody that swings too easy.
That's right. You can't swing it too. As Bobby Jones said, you can't swing the club too slowly. Of course, he was talking about hickory.
Dan, one thing more about Ben Hogan. It was legendary. The amount of work that he would put into his game as far as practice.
Yeah, well, he invented practice, and he built his game from the ground up. And the one thing I was stunned to discover one day, we were in the Colonial locker room, and he was getting dressed. Back when guys used to change clothes in the locker rooms, they don't do it anymore. But I saw him, you know, taking off his clothes and stuff and getting into his other stuff, and I realized that this guy had legs like a running back. That's where he got all of his power. And that stunned me because I didn't expect to see that for a guy who was only like 5'8 and 160 or something. But he was so long for his time, to being so slight. It was amazing.
Do you think, Dan, now that you disclosed that to me, and I'm surprised to hear that about his legs, but that signals strength to me, do you think that had something to do with how he was able to recover from that horrible accident?
It had a lot to do because this was after the accident. It had a great deal to do with it. Of course, he almost died in the accident. And as far as I'm concerned, it was the greatest comeback in the history of sports that he would come back from near death and win five more majors. I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, it's fiction. You couldn't invent it.
the relationship you had with players and still have for so many years, I've witnessed the game has changed a lot. The you know, everybody's got, you know, a team. They got people telling them what to eat, how to think, how to sleep, how to do this, how to do that. And I don't necessarily think that all of that is for the better.
Ben Hogan, again, going back to Ben Hogan, said if anybody, if somebody offered me a swing coach or told me how to play golf, I'd have shot him, you know, because he did it his way and he made it his way. Yeah, they have handlers and gurus and sports agents and accountants and lawyers and all that stuff now. It's that's been the biggest change. But the fact that, you know, guys, Jack Nicklaus is the first guy to do scorecards, distances. And I asked Ben about it one day. I said, "You wanna, why don't you keep distances like Nicklaus does?" He said, "I don't want to know how far it is. I may want to hit a 2-iron. I want to hear what it feels like." I said that Nicklaus Hogan told me he would never want to know what the distances are. And Jack said, "Well, think how much better he would have played." I said, "Yeah, sure."
You know, the one piece of knowledge that I've gained, Dan, was the fact that Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan caddied together at the same golf course. To me, that seems almost impossible.
It almost was impossible. I mean, it's just a curious twist of fate that they came from. Yeah, it's kind of like, in a different way, the fact that Gene Litter and Billy Casper came from San Diego, came from the more or less the same surroundings. But they grew up playing golf. They didn't caddy that I know of. But after all, when Ben and Byron were caddying, they were like 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. And by the time they were 18 or 19, they turned pro.
Dan Jenkins, we thank you so much. I want to mention the new book you got coming out. Oh, that's the current book. Okay. Dan Jenkins, His Own Self. And I know it's a fantastic read.
It's a semi-memoir, but most of it's true.
Congratulations again, Dan, on winning the Old Tom Morris Award, and thank you for taking some time out.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Ben.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
We'd like to thank Dan Jenkins for his time and congratulate him again on winning the Old Tom Morris Award. Our next feature interview is with our official hotel partner for the Cadillac Championship, the general manager, Rick Marjama, of the Grand Palms Hotel, Spa, and Golf Resort.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Not often you find somebody that's going from the pro shop to the boardroom, but the general manager here at the Grand Palms Resort certainly fits that bill. Rick Marjama is his name, and Rick, your facility here has a little bit of everything.
Yes, we do. We have 27 holes of golf. We have 137 hotel rooms. We have a 16,000 square foot European health spa and full food and beverage services for the entire resort.
And you know, Rick, one of the things that has impressed me here, everybody on your staff seems to go that extra mile to make you feel comfortable, make you feel welcome. And, boy, that's hard to duplicate.
Well, customer service is a big key for us here at Grand Palms. We're not the Hilton. We're not the Waldorf Astoria. But we're a very nice resort. But we try to strive at providing customer service as good as a Waldorf Astoria.
And it's very impressive, Rick. When you come on the property, everything looks nice, and I had an opportunity to take a look at your golf course. It seems like it's fun and yet still challenging.
Yes, we have, like I said, 27 holes of golf here. We have a lot of water, a typical South Florida golf course, but we have a lot of foliage. It's a 505 acres of beauty.
Well, my recommendation, anybody coming to the South Florida area, stay up here. You have access to Miami. You have access to great shopping. To put it mildly, you have it all here at the Grand Palms Resort.
Well, I thank you very much for coming. I'm sure you enjoyed your stay. I'd like to have you come back again.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network and powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere. The official hotel partner of the Grill Room for the WGC Cadillac Championship is the Grand Palms Hotel, Spa, and Golf Resort. With 137 comfortable rooms and suites located on a 27-hole golf course with all the amenities that you would expect of a first-class golf facility, including a pro shop, excellent food and beverage services, and a friendly staff that is ready to cater to your every whim. Minutes from South Florida's famed beaches and some of the best shopping in the country, the Grand Palms Resort invites you to relax at the resort while having access to all that South Florida has to offer. The Grand Palms Resort, truly a golfer's paradise. Call 954-431-8800 or visit GrandPalmsResort.com.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Time now for what's next on the schedule. We'll begin with the European Tour, the Tshwane Open in Pretoria, South Africa. Staying down in South Africa, great country though. They love their golf down there, and they got a lot of great golf courses. You and I both have been fortunate enough to have been there and played some golf.
Well, you have to realize, Bob, that when you make the trip down there, it makes sense for the European Tour to spend a couple of weeks down there, go ahead and fulfill all its obligations. And there's really not many good places to play in Europe right now, so you'll see them for another week or so, but eventually everybody's going to be making the move to Augusta National.
PGA Tour is not going to make much of a move. We're just going to go up the road a little bit to the most colorful event on the PGA Tour, the Valspar Championship, presented by BB&T at Innisbrook Copperhead Course, one of the finest golf courses in all of Florida. John Sendin, our defending champion.
That's right. So you see what happens, what John can do. I think that if you, even though you've seen a very difficult golf course this week at Blue Monster and the week before that, the champ course at PGA National, you'll find that the Copperhead Course is equally as difficult. And I think it doesn't have near as much water as the other two. So I think it's just because of the design itself. It's such a great design, but a very, very difficult design.
And when you look at some of the players in the field, Alex, certainly sounds very appealing. Jordan Spieth is going to be there. Ian Poulter. John Daly gets in based on his top 10 finish down at the Puerto Rican Open. Alex Checa, the winner, is going to be there. Jim Furyk, Justin Rose, Lee Westwood. It goes on. Pretty strong field.
Yeah, I mean, looking through that, talking to Jordan Spieth after his final round today at the Blue Monster, he feels like his game is starting to come into shape. Ian Poulter, I think, has felt very good about his game for a while. John Daly had a chance down in Puerto Rico, couldn't get it done, but that doesn't mean he's not going to play strong. Alex Checa coming off that win's got to be good. Louis Oosthuizen's going to be there. He had a sixth place here this week. Jim Furyk is always strong in Tampa. Justin Rose struggling but feeling like he may have found something this week. He's going to need it because he only has one more tournament to go before he plays in Augusta. Lee Westwood finishing the top 10, and Gary Woodland moving to Jim McLean this week. Really played very well for most of the time he was at the Blue Monster. He has won there in the past. We'll see how he can do.
Yeah, Gary Woodland certainly has the firepower for that Copperhead course. Going to be a good event. We're looking forward to being up there.
And that wraps up this week. You're listening to the Grill Room Grill Room Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, the Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course on our website, thegrillroom.com.
golfcoursesuperintendents.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and to golfweek.com. For Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grow Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.